shouts of space.
Welcome to Rational Face Podcast. I will be your host today, Paul, along with my brother Michael. And Michael, who do we have on the podcast today?
Today we have the original permablogger for Rational Face, Emmett Rabs, is in the house tonight.
I'm in the house.
In the house. Welcome.
Thanks.
And welcome all to our house. Whatever that means. Anyway. Okay. Real quick, when I first saw the post come up, when I first saw your name, I was like, okay, the first thing I have to ask Emmett is, how was it playing the Steelers back in 96? And how was it bringing home the MVP of the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, I had a lot of trouble fitting the ring around my finger.
Right.
So I just wear it as a necklace. As far as how the game went, it was amazing, and I won, and I am everything.
Yeah. You dominated that game. I forget how many yards you ran for, but it was impressive.
Yeah.
Do you still have those moves, though?
I don't. I dislocated my knee.
Okay.
So I'm unable to run a million yards like I used to. So now I sit for a million yards.
Okay, good. Good. Very nice. I'm just glad we're clear. You know, it's just an interesting career that you had, and you know, not many people can claim, you know, two Super Bowl rings that you do have.
Oh, yeah.
I think three. I'm not sure. I'll have to double check on that. I think it's three rings. Anyway,
17.
Yeah, 93, 94, and 96. So impressive.
Yep.
Yeah, two of those were against the Buffalo Bills, so I'm not too impressed, but whatever. Whatever. Okay, Mike, do you have some questions for Emmett?
Yeah. All right, Emmett. Here you go. Actually, the first one's kind of tell our audience and our readers and our listeners a little bit about yourself. It's an open-ended question.
Sure. I was born and raised in New York. I'm the youngest of six children. My favorite color is periwinkle. I have a bachelor's degree in business management and economics with a concentration in accounting. And I have actually done paid professional work as a puppeteer.
So, what?
Yes.
Okay, all those things you mentioned are my favorite things also. Besides a puppeteer, what the?
An accountant, they count numbers, Paul.
Right,
you're an
right,
idiot.
Right,
you're an
right.
idiot.
Yeah.
That's your mother-in-law.
I'm more concerned about the puppeteer.
What about?
Yeah, like,
well,
what
when
involved?
Because when you said puppeteer, honestly, what came to my mind is the closing scenes from Best in Show, where the guy that had the bloodhounds, where he goes into ventriloquism.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's kind of what came to mind. But yeah, tell us about puppeteering, because it's a little creepy, to be honest with you.
It's a little creepy.
Well, you put your hands right up the...
Actually, I didn't do that part. I controlled the left eyebrow.
Okay.
And hand.
Okay. That's less creepy.
Yes.
Just kidding.
It's creepy.
The left eyebrow and the left hand?
How many people are involved with making something animate like that?
This particular puppet was two people.
Okay.
And the other person was also the voice.
Okay.
So totally two people involved.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. I want to see that. I think it's on Netflix about Elmo, the guy behind Elmo.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out now. You've piqued my interest in the puppeteering.
But didn't the Elmo guy get in trouble for a child molestation, or am I misremembering that?
It was something like that.
I think there were rumors.
I think
he was clear of all charges.
Oh, was he?
Besides what he did to Elmo. That's another story. I think everyone looked the other way. Anyway.
That was horrible. All right, tell us more about yourself. So, puppeteer, and then you're one of our East Coasters.
Yes.
And what else? There's got to be more there, because you're an interesting person.
You were raised Catholic, right?
Yes, I was, yes. And that's actually what the post is about,
right?
Into the Fire. So nice tie-in there, by the way.
Yeah. Your first post was like almost 2 years ago, wasn't it? Let's see.
It was January of something or other, I believe.
Yes, 2013. So, yeah, almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when I contacted you is because I had come across you on Facebook and you had said something about you being Catholic and I wanted someone to tell a story about that, what that was like. I think that's what it was about. That's cool. Yeah. Now I guess my next question is kind of lame, but because I invited you to write a post about it. Do you remember kind of like how you went about constructing your thoughts and stuff?
Yeah. Well, like you said, you approached me to do the guest post, and at the time I was pretty active in some Mormon feminist Facebook groups, and so the concept of faith crises and faith transitions were pretty much sort of an everyday discussion in some form or another, as you know.
Yeah.
I want to say that I wrote this post from a place of peace and loving understanding, but knowing myself better than that, I know that I wrote it because I was more than a little exasperated at the idea that no one from another religion could ever possibly understand what all these people were going through.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I meant the post as a sort of double-sided, I understand what you're going through, and don't diminish my experiences and the experiences of others just because their faith journeys don't look the way yours does.
Oh, yeah. That makes total sense now.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul, your turn, brother.
All right, because just to add on to that, a lot of people take different information and do different things with it, right? And so just because your journey doesn't end the same way as mine does, it doesn't make yours less valid.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. And you should respect other people's journeys just because they didn't arrive at the same conclusions as you might have arrived. Run on sentence.
Yeah, you say here, kind of towards the end, in that your first post for us, you may dismiss me by saying, quote, "Oh, well, Catholicism is not a lifestyle religion the way Mormonism is." You're right. Catholicism is not a lifestyle, but it permeates every facet of life just as much as Mormonism does, especially for those who are Irish or Catholic in New York. Are you part Irish?
I'm actually mostly Irish.
You're mostly Irish.
Yeah, I'm 75% Irish.
Oh. Yeah. What's the other 25%?
Italian.
Ah, see, that's what I'm gonna guess, because I've seen pictures of your dad, and he looks kind of like an olive.
Yeah,
skin.
He's half Italian, and he's very he's olive skin, dark hair, curly hair, so.
Yeah, and I've seen pictures with him with a mustache, I think.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah, he rocked his mustache for a long time.
It was the 70s.
I think it was actually the 60s.
The 60s. He was before his time.
He still has that same mustache now.
He rocks it. Magna P.I. Go. So is there anything that you carry over from...
from Catholicism?
Yeah, to Mormonism. Anything that you still enjoy about your former religion? Or, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you can appreciate this as a Mormon. Catholicism is the religion of my ancestors. Mm. You know what I mean? And so it's sort of deeply ingrained in my blood. And, of course, the ritual worship aspect. So when I did my endowment, that was something that actually felt pretty comfortable for me.
Right.
Mormons, you know, we sort of go to a bank on Sunday. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Whereas I'm used to, you know, sort of high worship, you know.
Right.
And so the love of ritual worship, Lord, hellfire and brimstone is one of my favorite things about religion. Mm-hmm. And you get a good dose of that in Catholicism. And also, I have enough Catholic guilt to last me for the rest of my life. So I've sort of taken that over as well.
That's awesome.
I was when I went home teaching today. The family I was visiting, not today, but the weekend before, they had decided to go to an Assembly of God, mm-hmm. and they're kind of explained the meeting, and I said, "Yeah, that you would call a low church experience," and I said, "A high church experience would be like Catholicism. You know, it's very ceremonial, a lot of liturgy, and Mormons are kind of towards the low church experience, but not quite what you saw with the Assembly of God, because these people were just standing up and praying, and, you know, and stuff, they said. And then I said, and what you said, I think goes along with my thoughts. I'm kind of the opinion that before any Mormon that's been raised Mormon goes through the endowment ceremony, that they should go to at least one Catholic mass.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Because I think, particularly as a woman, you know, right now a lot's being talked about how the endowment session goes for women. But particularly as a woman, I was actually quite afraid of what I was going to find there. I expected they were going to make me ride a donkey and then cut its head off or something. I didn't know what they were going to tell me to do. It's just the way people were talking.
Dude, yeah. I'm kind of down with that, dude. I'd be all over that once a week, at least.
So, but once I got there, like I said, it felt pretty comfortable for me.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I had that experience.
Right. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I can appreciate that.
I hear you, sister. Right. Hear you. What do you see as your next blog post coming up?
Oh, on June 9th or 11th. I don't have a calendar in front of me. It's a Wednesday. I have interviewed Lauren Crossan from Rockstar Ministries.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and so I'm really looking forward to that coming out. And that'll be really great to get that out there. It's a great cause. And so I really want as many people as possible. And we have a fairly good readership, I think. I want as many people as possible to be informed and possibly go out also and help with Rockstar Ministries.
Okay. Can you give us a little snidbit?
Give us a teaser. Tease us, sister.
Give us a teaser to tease it out. That's what you do with teasers.
I'm back yet. And so I'm still waiting on those. But as far as, I mean, I can tell people what Rockstar Ministries is roughly about.
Sure.
Okay, well, Rockstar Ministries, again, was founded by Lauren and I believe some other people, but I don't have that right in front of me. But they also have a Facebook page that people can check out there. Essentially, from my understanding, she had an action not too terribly long ago where they actually went around to sex workers and pass out condoms and told them about God and things like that, because I believe that's sort of how she came to the church in a similar fashion.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, this is interesting now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a great cause. So, you know, I believe she's serving to people, but also in helping them protect themselves.
Yeah, it's so... See, that's what's... I love these stories of Mormons that are like doing good things, but not in the stereotypical way we think about Mormons doing that. That's like, it just, like, I listened to a podcast interview this week of a woman. She's and she does all this fundraising for starving children and stuff, and she raised, I think last year it was like over $1 billion through some type of rock concert in New York. It was amazing. She had like big bands like Foo Fighters and stuff coming, but you know, it was amazing. She does it around the time that the UN is doing their stuff, and then she approaches also these national leaders and stuff, and she gets them to donate a lot of money. It's awesome to hear Mormons doing like crazy awesome stuff like that. Now,
no, I agree.
What's the chance of you interviewing her for a podcast? On a scale of 1 to 10, 0 being, oh, well, I guess I said scale of 1 to 10, so I can't say 0.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, that's
kind of
weird.
She would open to it, so I mean, I don't see any problem with that. I think it would probably be more of a scheduling thing than anything, because I'm getting ready to move here.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So, yeah,
that's right. You're moving out of Zion into the belly of the beast.
Yes.
Where all things crazy Mormon come from.
I know. Don't I know it?
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, we look forward to seeing that post, and hopefully we'll get a lot of eyes on it so they can be more informed and maybe help out with Rock Ministries, Rockstar Ministries.
Yeah, great.
All right. Any final words?
Waka, waka, waka. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not good like that.
We still have to come up with a good tagline to end the podcast. It usually goes on and on and of us saying, all right, that's it. Okay, now, that's
it. I think we should say, good night, San Diego.
Good night, San Diego.
There you go. All right. Good night, San Diego, and everybody else. Okay. Thanks for listening to another Rational Face podcast, and we'll...